Hi, I'm Mike Dilk and you're listening to the Relax Back UK show, the show that explores all kinds of health topics relevant to you, your family and your friends. Each week I talk to expert guests from a range of backgrounds to inform and entertain you. So please do join the Relax Back UK family and stay tuned.
Hi, and thank you for joining me on the Relax Back UK show. My guests today are Dr. Mitra Dutt, a digital health specialist with Lloyds Pharmacist, and Dr. Kieran Sayan, Chief Medical Officer at Lloyds Pharmacy Online. And the topic of discussion is weight loss jabs, their use, and also their misuse.
Up to a third of Brits who are actually already on these weight loss injections are using hacks to try and make this medication last longer.
Much of the recent misuse is driven by the recent price increases leading to what was just described, but also something much more worrying and sinister.
Are these medicines genuine? There have been reports of getting this medicine for as cheap as £1.50, and that's actually quite impossible to create this medicine with at such a low price. And you do have to question whether this is actually a genuine medicine. So what are people injecting into themselves?
So please do stay tuned for a fascinating and very topical discussion. However, before we start, I want to invite you along to a cycle ride. Every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday at 12:30, I will be on my Watt bike, and you can join me on my YouTube channel. That is the Relax Back UK YouTube channel. So come and join me. We'll have a pedal together for 20 or 30 minutes and a little chat about, you know, what I've been up to, what you've been up to. It's fun. So come along for the ride. And right now, look forward to a great show. Thank you. So my guests are Dr. Mitra Dutt, a digital health specialist, Dr. Kieran Sayan, Chief Medical Officer at Lloyds Pharmacy Online. And they joined me to discuss weight loss injections. But my first question actually was to Dr. Mitra Dutt, asking her, what exactly is a digital health specialist?
Good question. So I work for Lloyds Pharmacy Online Doctor, and what I do with my team is design online consultations for various medications or conditions. So a patient feels like they're having a consultation with their GP, but it's online rather than face to face. And my main job is to make sure that they're clinically safe and robust and ensure that we're prescribing safely for our patients.
Okay, all right, interesting. Because I've got to say, I love digital health, but that can mean almost anything. To sort of from designing, like the watch I'm wearing now, to what you're doing, to I don't know, almost anything. Tracking diseases via all sorts of weird and wonderful methods. But okay, good. Thank you for that. So maybe we should get on with the topic in hand, and that's diet jabs, weight loss jabs. Is there any information, because I've tried to find this out and I think it's quite difficult, how many people in the UK are using these things? Like, does anyone actually know?
No, is the answer, quite frankly, to be honest, because basically it's very difficult and there's very strict criteria on the NHS to qualify for this medication at the moment. And that I know is being looked into by the NHS to make it more accessible. And that's usually where we're able to get all of our data as a healthcare profession. However, a lot of the patients are getting their medication via private means and visiting services like Lloyds Pharmacy Online Doctor, but there are quite a few out there. And this is how they get their service, their healthcare service. But that is quite protected information. And so because it's quite protected, it's very difficult for us as a
It's commercially sensitive sort
exactly
of information,
right.
Isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Exactly right.
Would you consider a guess just between you and me?
The figures that I have seen, which I couldn't corroborate, is something like 1.6 million patients have used weight loss medication,
okay.
The vaccinations.
This is a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, this isn't just one or two. In fact, I'd suggest most people know someone who has taken these or is taking them at the moment. I mean, my sister-in-law has been taking them, using it. She looks fantastic. It's worked really well for her. But yeah, but recently, I mean, maybe not so recently now, the price of these things has gone up enormously, hasn't it? Does what? How much have they gone up? And does anyone know why? Why the price has gone up?
Yeah, I can take that. So it's really from the manufacturer that the prices have gone up, and that's a decision that particularly one of the manufacturers, Lilly, decided to take. And then, of course, then the impact of that is that the price of so the manufacturing price, etc., has increased, and the impact of that is then passed over to the provider and to the patient as well. And I do know a lot of providers are trying to minimize that impact on the patient, but to make a sustainable service, it's not always possible. And so there has to be an increase in the price to the medication then as well.
Right.
So there has been this increase, particularly in August time, and that's when we saw the biggest increase.
Yeah.
It's stable now, but that's basically the reason why.
So, do you think the manufacturer thought, goodness, this is a lot more popular than we first thought. We better make some more money out of it. Or am I just, is that not fair?
I wouldn't be able to tell you to be honest. I think that's a difficult thing to I'd have to leave that to the manufacturer to comment
Yeah,
on.
that's probably an unfair question. I specialize in the unfair question, so
That's okay. You're more than
I'm
welcome
sure
to
more will crop up during
answer.
our chat. So, all right. So anyway, look, the price has gone up enormously. Has that led to changes in how people are using these things?
Yes, absolutely. I can take this one. What we do know from recent research that we've carried out at Lloyds Pharmacy Online Doctor is that up to a third of Brits who are actually already on these weight loss injections are using hacks to try and make this medication last longer. And we know they're doing this because they're under financial pressure. Like you've mentioned already, there's fluctuating prices for these medications. And particularly in January, everyone's feeling the pinch. So there's various ways people are trying to hack these medications. They're using hacks like microdosing, using a golden dose,
Hang
or
on, microdosing. What do you
yes,
mean?
what? Yeah. Exactly. What is microdosing? Really good question. So, microdosing is when someone's trying to take less of a medication to try and make it last longer. So, if we first try and understand how they should be taking the medication, say you're on a weight loss injection pen, you'll receive a pen which has four doses, and we instruct our patients to take one dose once a week, and one pen will last our patients 4 weeks, so a month. Now, by microdosing, what patients are sometimes doing is taking less of a dose to try and make that medication last longer. So, say, for example, instead of 4 weeks, they want to take the medication over 8 weeks. But the problem with this, it comes with lots of risks and could cause harm to our patients. So, it's something we never ever advise. Firstly, if patients don't know how much of a dose they're injecting and they're not taking it regularly or leaving a massive gap, they are putting themselves at risk of suffering from side effects. And these side effects can include things like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, a bad tummy, just general
That
pain,
sounds like
weak.
side effects of having too much of a drug rather than too little. Or
Yeah,
am I
that's a
missing
good
something?
point. So what's happening is patients are using it in unauthorized ways. So what's happening is that the level of the drug in the body is dropping. So the way you're meant to take these drugs is actually take a regular dose for 4 weeks and then you go up a dose. And it's a very regimented way that we increase our patients' doses. But what's happening, if you're taking unknown doses at irregular times, your body, the level of the drug is dropping in the body and suddenly it's being exposed to the drug again, perhaps too late, and that's what's increasing the risk of side effects.
Okay. All right. You were, before I interrupted you, you were talking about other things that people get up to, microdosing, and then you were carrying on with a list.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so the list, so second on the list was taking a golden dose. So like I mentioned, you get four doses in one pen. Golden dose is the actual extra medication that's left after taking your four doses. And the manufacturer makes it very clear that extra bit of medication is not to be taken. It's actually there so patients can prime the pen before they're injecting themselves with the four doses. So the danger of taking that last bit of medication, again, the patients don't know how much they're injecting. And if they're taking too much, because it's not measured, they're again at risk of side effects.
Okay. All right. So you've got a couple of things there that you've seen people doing. Anything else? I mean, is there anything sort of that is really surprised you or really worried you from patient behavior that you've seen?
I think for me, probably the most worrying is where patients are looking to obtain this medication from. And there is an in excuse me, an increase in the amount of patients who are looking to get this from really unsolicited sources, beauty salons, the dark web, social media, and they're getting this medication from not from clinical experts or healthcare professionals. And that really concerns me because they're not getting the advice that you need to have with this particular medication. And also the this is it is a very, very powerful drug. It does do its job of suppressing the appetite, but it's a journey. You do it along with lifestyle changes, along with the changes to your actual diet itself, the exercise, the improvement in sleep, reducing your stress. This is a lifelong kind of change to your lifestyle. So you won't be getting that, and it's being seen more as a lifestyle type drug on those platforms. So that's one of the worries that I personally have, but I know a
Right.
lot of
So
healthcare professionals do.
taking it with some very good help and advice, etc., is very important.
Yes,
I
that
can see
wraparound
that.
service that we should be providing as healthcare professionals. But probably even more concerning than that is, are these medicines genuine? There have been reports of getting this medicine for as cheap as £1.50, and that's actually quite impossible to create this medicine with at such a low price. And you do have to question whether this is actually a genuine medicine. So what are people injecting into themselves then as a result of that? And has it been tested, clinically tested, gone through the trials, etc.? That's what probably worries me the most, because you're putting yourself at harm of maybe increased side effects, but also, is it the same medicine as what you'd be getting if it was an authorized medication? That's probably my main concern.
So are some people making this medicine sort of, in underground labs, knocking up a bit of weight loss injection in the basement and flogging it to either unsuspecting or suspecting individuals? Sure. I mean, can that really be the case?
It's possible, yes. I mean, that's the reports. We wouldn't be experts in this area on how it's being done, but that's where what the reports are saying, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds pretty alarming. What about not going to sort of drugs that are illicit or we're not quite sure where they came from, but to other drugs that people use and they've been tested already for, so we know they're safe on people, but they're used for other things at the moment. Are they turning to drugs that are currently used for other things? They're provided by healthcare professionals for other things, but they might help with weight loss as well, almost as a side effect. Is that another issue?
I think what you're maybe trying to describe there is actually how these weight loss injections came about. So originally they were medicines for diabetes. So they're very effective at controlling patients' blood sugar levels and sometimes reversing diabetes. But what they found over the years, once they were using these medications, as almost like a side effect, these patients were losing a lot of weight. So then there were more clinical trials. They were studied further and researched, and then were licensed for weight loss. So actually, originally, these weren't weight loss injections. They were there to help control diabetes.
And that there are other drugs around. So I did a little, I'll let you into secret. I did a little bit of a Google search, other drugs that might help with weight loss. Okay.
Okay.
And I got a list here. So things like antidepressants, like used not because you're depressed, but because you want to lose weight and they might help with appetite suppression. Things to help with migraines. These are some of the things that came up. So is that an issue? Other drugs that are generally used for other things, but people trying to see if they work, or there might be, some proof is the wrong word, but they might help a little bit for appetite suppression.
I don't think that's something that we have seen in our practice. And as Mitra mentioned about things like microdosing and golden dosing, these are things that patients are actively asking about to us in our consultations. I don't remember any patients asking specifically about other medicines helping with appetite suppressant or helping them to lose weight of recent memory, either in NHS practice or in the practice at Lloyds Pharmacy Online Doctor. So I don't think that's common, but that might be just our experience.
Sure. Okay. All right.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Do you think that sort of this sort of experimentation, the ones you've come across, you know, the micro dosing, etc., is that driven by desperation, really? Because people have been using these drugs with success. Suddenly they can't afford them, and they're just kind of desperate. Or are we just all too vain to lose weight?
So I think we touched upon this before, because of obvious financial pressures, especially if patients are buying or requesting these medications privately. That, you know, they may be paying a certain amount one month and then suddenly the price has gone up or down the next month. So there's that pressure that might be driving this kind of behaviour. But what's really important to understand is actually when someone is even thinking about starting a weight loss journey with these medications, it's not just a financial kind of commitment that they're making, like Kieran mentioned before. It's actually a commitment to making a lifestyle change and addressing all the pillars that we talked about before. So there's two real big kind of commitments that a patient has to make before even entering this journey. And in our consultations, we make our patients very well aware that actually we're not here just to sell the injections. We're here to help you with your weight loss journey and provide this holistic support to help make this weight loss more effective and long lasting as well. So if it comes to a point where a patient wants to come off the medication or start reducing their dose, we can clearly guide them how to do that and give them advice on how to try and keep the weight off and sustain that long term.
Okay. All right. So I can see you really sort of need a long term relationship with people that are using
absolutely,
this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been in one of those, had a situation where you might be in a relationship with a patient, a customer, and it's obvious to you that they want to continue doing these things, but they're looking elsewhere. They're looking for a cheaper source. And have you had to try and persuade people that actually it's a much better plan to use a registered above board source like yourselves, and just try and persuade them not to go searching for these things on the dark web, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is our role as healthcare professionals, is to advise patients and to give them all of the information so they can make an informed choice and make the decision on what's best for their health. And that's our responsibility as doctors, not just in this case, but just in general, is that we are there to provide that advice and prescribe accordingly where they're clinically eligible. So patients have asked us about things like microdosing and golden dosing, because it's been in the news and it's been in the media. They might have seen it on social media, and so want to ask those questions. But the clinical advice is quite clear. These things haven't been tested. You could be putting yourself at risk. There is this risk, as we've talked about before, side effects. But also, when you elongate that medication, these pens are only meant to last for a month. So you go past your expiry date for that pen. So actually, is it doing its job then in the first place by doing this microdosing, because the medicine is basically not being effective as it should be?
Does it have a shelf life of not terribly long then?
Yeah, so there's two main injections out there. They both have different shelf lives. One is 30 days from when you first start using it, and the other one is 6 weeks. So like the example we gave before, if you're microdosing and you're extending that period from 4 weeks to 8 weeks, and your medication is expiring in 30 days, if you think about it, the last four doses have expired and potentially ineffective. So then you're paying for something that's not really working.
So as Joe Public, I'm very much a member of Joe Public here. If I've got a headache and I've got some, you know, aspirin around, and the sell by date or the use by date was a couple of weeks ago, I take them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what's the problem? I'm sure it's going to be fine. And usually it is. And then I'm sure people just get a bit suspicious of sell-by dates. Am I wrong to do that? Because I'm thinking, well, they just want me to buy more of this stuff. It's absolutely fine. I've taken it. My headache's gone.
Yeah. I can see exactly where you're coming from. But these injections are very different from your over-the-counter painkillers that you're describing there. So they need to be kept at a certain temperature. So when we're delivering these medications to patients, it's in a cold chain. So it's kept at a certain temperature, and it has to be refrigerated as soon as it gets home. So once it's out of the fridge and patients start using it, unfortunately, the kind of the countdown does start in terms of its shelf life. And what the manufacturers are saying, after 30 days, depending on which medication, or 6 weeks, we can't guarantee that that medication is still effective. So if you take that risk,
it's unlikely to be unsafe. It just won't work.
Yeah, exactly. We're not saying you're more likely to get side effects, but if you're taking something that's not effective, why are you taking it? Because you're putting yourself at risk of your weight loss journey slowing down. And I guess worst case scenario is that you start putting weight back on while you think you're injecting yourself with this medication, which
it's almost counterintuitive, because you're making it last longer, but it's not effective. So is there any point in doing that?
Sure. No. All right. A bit like the aspirin example I gave, because we're allowed, you know, the general public, we're allowed to have this stuff. You know, we're allowed to come and buy it from you. We're allowed to inject ourselves. It must be safe. Do you know what I mean? Is that a thought that the general public has? Well, if it's not safe, they wouldn't let us have it. So, you know, what's the problem?
So it's not quite as simple as that.
No, like, obviously, I know, but is this an issue that you've come across?
Yes, so they are powerful injections and they've transformed the treatment of obesity. You're absolutely right. But say a patient comes to us, it's not like, oh, yes, you can request it. We're going to give it to you. We have thorough checks, safeguarding checks. So first of all, we need to make sure a patient, check their BMI or body mass index and make sure they are the weight that they're saying they are. And we do this using video. We do thorough ID checks, and then we enter the consultation where we're getting to know our patients, who they are, how motivated are they to lose this weight, and then we go into the medical detail of their history, what medication they're on, and only then can we then decide, are they suitable for this medication? So not everyone coming to us ends up with an injection. They have to go through quite a few hurdles before we even decide that they're suitable, and sometimes it may involve back and forth between our GPs and the patients just to work out if this is the right medication for them. So if you do end up with a prescription, it's after you've had these thorough checks.
Something that I think about, and this is, I haven't spoken with this about anyone, actually. I'm not even sure I've confided this with my wife, actually. But sometimes I think, so this is my innermost darkest thought almost.
Thank you.
Sorry, don't be too worried. I mean, these injections haven't really been around that long. Okay, they've been around for other things, as for diabetes, etc. But probably even that, not around that long. And just in the last couple of years, you know, 1.6 million people are now doing this, taking these things. Is it some kind of giant experiment almost? I don't mean experiment in a bad way, but do we really know kind of the long-term effects of these things? And should we all be just a little bit more worried? Or careful, probably, is a better term.
Yeah, it's a very good question. With a lot of these medications, is they have actually been around for quite some time. So we do know what the effects are on people. So there's the very positive effects and transforming people's lives. We have to think about it on a grand scale. It's like, not only is this helping with things like obesity, but then the diseases that are associated with obesity as well. And that can be everything from cardiovascular disease, like heart diseases, strokes, even some mental health side of things as well. All of these very positive effects that the medication can have. And they have been through very vigorous clinical trials as well, and for a number of years. So whilst they might come to the market on a particular date and time, they have been studied for a number of years beforehand. So we do have a good picture of how these can have an effect on people in the short and in the long term. The really long term, I mean, you're absolutely right. Do we know what happens over 30, 40, 50 years? No, we don't, because they haven't been around for that long. But that could be said of a lot of medication, yeah. And we go with what the evidence shows.
Sure. All right. But in general, it seems like, you know, if everyone is a bit thinner and a bit fitter, it's got to be good for the nation and it's got to be good for the NHS, because, you know, there will be fewer diseases that come along with that. So hopefully that's what we're heading towards. Do you think there's a chance of getting there?
Yeah, absolutely. What you've just described. And I think that kind of brings us on to an important point. Why are we prescribing these drugs? So, you know, patients are being exposed to social media where actually the aesthetics of this drug are, you know, promoted. And then I think there's a confusion. Am I taking this to look better, or actually am I taking this for my health?
Yeah.
So as healthcare professionals, our job is to ensure we're prescribing to the right patients who we know are going to have a health benefit from taking these medications. And almost a side effect of that is actually looking trimmer. But that is not why we are prescribing it. And like Kieran said, there's other indications for these drugs coming up. They're all still in thorough clinical trials. And there is talk of them being beneficial for other chronic conditions. And that's upcoming. So it's almost like watch this space. Okay. But our primary duty and responsibility is only to prescribe to patients who are going to receive a health benefit from these medications.
Very good. All right. With that in mind, we've kind of covered this already, but I think it's worth sort of just going back a little bit. Sort of two final questions. If someone's listening right now and they're thinking, right, I'd like to try a weight loss jab hack, or maybe an unapproved drug from, you know, from my beautician or the dark web or something, what's the one thing that you would say, right, you need to understand this? And then secondly, a good source of good, solid, sensible information for people that want to know more or are thinking about going down this route.
I would say for the first bit, sorry, it was quite a long question. So I'm trying.
It was,
to
yes.
The beginning here.
Apologies. I told you I proved with I deal with difficult questions. Yeah.
No. It's not. They're very reasonable questions. So with the first bit, with regards to what's the one piece of advice that we'd be giving? Have I got that correct? Is for someone thinking about that? Is we would definitely wouldn't be advising this. It hasn't had any clinical trials associated with it, and that's what all of Western medicine is based on, is evidence base. These have gone through very strict trials. We know that this particular medicine at this dose and taken at once a week is going to be effective for you. When you start microdosing or you do golden dosing, then there is this risk that you are putting yourself under of things like increased side effects or changes in side effects, and also that the medication is not as effective as it should be, so you're elongating your journey unnecessarily and putting yourself at risk there.
Okay. And then a good source of information, general information about this topic,
I could point to our own website. Lloyd's Pharmacy Online Doctor does have a huge amount of content and information for patients, which people like Mitra and myself have written. And it basically gives patient advice on what this type of medication is, what the benefits of it are. And patients should know what the risks of it are as well. And things are like you can still get side effects, even if you are taking this properly. So there's good pieces of information there. The piece of advice that I'd also give to everyone is that if you do decide to go, this is to go to a regulated provider. As I mentioned before, my biggest concern is going to the underground to get this. The easiest way to see that is to go to a website and Lloyd's, and you will see at the bottom the logo of the regulators. So for example, the Care Quality Commission, they regulate all of the GP surgeries, hospitals, the digital services, and the General Pharmaceutical Council, they regulate all of the pharmacies. So you'll see their logo at the bottom of the page there. Anyone can put a logo there, so make sure you click through in it. And then that will link to the CQC or the GPHC website, and you'll see the registration details there.
Excellent. That sounds like very good advice. All right. So look, thank you so much to you both for taking the time to chat, because this is an important topic and of great interest to lots of people. So many thanks. Thank you very much to my guests on this week's show. And they were Dr. Kieran Sayan and Dr. Mitra Dutt from Lloyd's Pharmacy. Thank you to you for listening, and have a healthy week until next week. And do remember to join me for the cycle ride on the Watt Bike, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, 12:30. On my YouTube channel, Relax Back UK. See you then.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening to the Relax Back UK show. Join me, Mike Dilk, again next week for more fascinating interviews and chat. If you're listening to the podcast version, please subscribe, like, and share it with your family and friends. And have a healthy week. Until next week.